Hi, this is Kim Catola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Catola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and I'm really pleased to be with you tonight and to share some things that are on my heart. First of all, something that just occurred to me earlier today. I remembered a story that I heard when I was young in faith. I was not a follower of Jesus Christ for very long when I heard this testimony of a miraculous deliverance. And I don't recall all the details, but it was about a catastrophic accident. And it was unfolding on an icy road. And the driver said she cried out to Jesus and her car stopped sliding. She escaped injury, even as other vehicles smashed and flipped and piled up all around her. And I remember thinking at the time, that's just great. I hope I can remember to call on his name if I'm ever in that much trouble. And as you can guess, I really hadn't developed the habit of prayer at that time in my life. And in the years that have passed, I have found myself crying out for his help nearly every day and many times each day. And that doesn't happen overnight, you know. I mean, it's forged in the fires of adversity. As the saying goes, you'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you've got. And the difficulties of saying goodbye and eventual deaths then of both of my parents within the same year was such a time when prayer became paramount. The terrible teens that some of our kids experienced drove me to my knees for a season of crying out. Affliction breeds prayer. It's just the way that it is. And you know, today, my prayers aren't limited to moments of chaos and stress, because I've also learned to pray grateful prayers and prayers of praise and prayers for the needs of friends and prayers for God's kingdom come and for his will to be done. You know, the praying life is a life of endless variety. But as I thought of that testimony today, I have another family member battling cancer, and that makes four people right now in my generation in our family facing down a terrifying diagnosis. And of course, you know, the grueling regimen of care. And I don't understand the timing at all, much less the heart cry of those bearing the illness itself. Our whole family is experiencing a level of shock in the trauma that is extreme and disorienting. But I am crying out to Jesus. And every time I do, he stops the slide. And part of the reason that I can maintain my composure in catastrophe is that I know that I know that I know that my worst mistake and deepest sin has been used of God for his greater glory. I know that the child I had a part in destroying through abortion is safe with the Savior in heaven. And I don't know why God chose to reveal something so holy to me, who was so unworthy of that gift, but he did. And that's the simple reason that I am here each week helping you hope against hope that all is not lost even after abortion. This is the vision that God has given me. People restored. Yes, and people now able and willing to speak the truth about our own journey after abortion. People who will belong to our Lord Jesus Christ for life. People who are building the kingdom of heaven on earth by helping others see him and know him and become members of his forever family. This is what I see. Women and men like you and me who bear fruit for Jesus even after abortion. And for me, that fruit has the flavor of a phone call or an email from someone who wants me to know that they did gain hope from hearing me proclaim God's promises. It could be the pastor who admits that he listens every week hoping to become bold enough to preach the truth concerning abortion. It may even be just the satisfaction of knowing I made the most of an opportunity to speak God's word and help advance the cause of life, but this is what I see. Fruitful followers of Jesus Christ, even after abortion. And this is my prayer tonight, that as you abide in him, you would bear much fruit. Because when Jesus said that in John 15:5, he didn't say, whoever abides in me but has never made a mess of their life or the lives of others will bear much fruit. No. He said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I see you becoming more and more fruitful as he restores you and cradles your heart. I see it. And I pray today that you will see it too. Tonight our guest has, she's one who has gone from a mess to a message. That's the title of her new book, which has just been released. Rhonda Barnes is our guest, and she has a unique and transparent style of ministry, a passion for women who are hurting and broken. And that has led her into ministry as she has become fruitful to share what God has given her so that others may be free in Christ, even in the aftermath of abortion. Rhonda Barnes, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. I thought our guest was there and ready to go, and I'm waiting to say hello to her. But as we get that together, I'll tell you a little bit more about Rhonda's ministry. Rhonda is the founder and primary instructor of a ministry called Aftermath, which is an after-abortion care ministry and Bible study addressing the emotional and spiritual needs of men and women who have experienced pregnancy loss through abortion. She's got a B.S. in zoology, as well as her B.S. in nursing, and she's currently working for the Department of the Army as a nurse specialist, providing support and education for parents with children ages newborn to 3 years old. She is living in North Carolina. She and her husband Donald have been married for 28 years. They have 3 adult children and 1 grandchild, and let's see if we can now connect with Rhonda. Rhonda, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Okay, I'm not sure what the technical difficulty
is. Hello, I'm here.
There you are. Okay, hi, Rhonda, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kim. I was like, oh, wow, they can't hear me, but I'm here.
Did you say anything wonderful?
I said yes. Thank you so much for having me on your program tonight. It's an honor to be able to speak with you.
Well, Rhonda, you and I have crossed paths in post-abortion ministry at the national level a few times, and I'm just so pleased for you. Congratulations on the release of the book. I know it is always a difficult thing to get a book birthed, if you will, so that's wonderful. How is it going for you?
It's going well. I have had a few speaking engagements, and I have a couple coming up, actually, this coming weekend and the following weekend. And the Lord is just really blessing in the response that I'm receiving from, you know, men and women that have chosen to read the book.
Well, you know, and I've written on this subject as well, and it was very important to me to include the stories of others because I think every choice for abortion represents a separate need of the heart. I don't pretend to speak for anyone else, although I know there are common problems that I think we all experience, especially spiritually after abortion, but this is something that you did as well. Your approach also includes telling stories beyond just your story, and so I'm interested in hearing about your ministry as well as, you know, how God brought that about. We've just got a couple of minutes before we go to a break, but set the stage with the thumbnail version of what happened that led you to make that choice for abortion.
Well, as a 19-year-old college student getting into a new relationship, my mother saw that I was serious with this young man whom I call Sam, and she just told us if she gets pregnant, you all are going to, you know, get married. And it was like, well, okay, not thinking that, you know, I would get pregnant. But once I did, he didn't say, let's go get married. He told me two of his friends had taking their girlfriends to have an abortion. So that was what we were going to do. And when I was younger, I was more passive than I am now, and I just went along with it because I told myself, it's not a baby yet. And we went to the clinic, and that was it. The baby was gone.
You know, this is so important because that passivity was really a key in my experience as well. And the way you told the story right there, it does not sound like you chose abortion. It sounded like you went along with someone else's choice for you.
Right. And that's what I did because when I was in high school, it was rumored that one of our classmates had had an abortion. And I said to myself then, how can someone kill their baby? Then when it wasn't me, I called it a baby. But when it was suggested for me, it became, it's not a baby yet. If I do it by so many weeks.
Sure. And I think it's really important for us to understand this about our own hearts, that there's so much confusion that happens because did I choose that? I don't really think I did. And yet I'm responsible for it because I passively participated. The reason why for you listening tonight that I want to underscore that is I think that is a very common scenario with abortion. And I think it's a very different thing that God holds us accountable for versus making the decision on some other basis. So we'll continue with Rhonda Barnes talking about how she processed that experience and how ministry was birthed out of it when we continue after a short break. And we do have some promotional copies of Rhonda's book for those who call and join us on the air. So please, our ground rules, if you're new to the program tonight, you do not have to give your name, but we do ask that you would join us at 800-811-3003. And for those who do, we have a copy of Rhonda's book, From a Mess to a Message, tonight from us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Thank you for being with us tonight. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and we have an offer on the table for you that if you would like to receive a copy of tonight's healing resource, Rhonda Barnes' book, From a Mess to a Message, join us with a question or comment. 800-811-3003 is our number. That's 800-811-3003. And our first three callers will receive a complimentary copy, and we thank you, Rhonda, for making that available. Also, of course, if you do not want to call or if you're not able to, you can always communicate with us on our social media. We're at facebook.com/cradlemyheart or on Twitter. I'm at Kim Cattola, K-E-T-O-L-A. Or you can go to cradlemyheart.org and use the contact form and let me know that you want that to remain confidential, and we'll try to communicate and answer you that way. So lots of ways that you can get in touch with us, but please just do. 800-811-3003. We love to hear from you during the live portion of the broadcast each week. And, of course, we podcast, and we'll have more about that coming up. And you can learn all about it at cradlemyheart.org. But tonight, our guest, Rhonda Barnes, is telling the story of how, first of all, she was opposed to abortion personally in high school. She understood that it was the taking of a life. It was, as you put it, Rhonda, it was somebody killing their baby. And yet, as a college student, when you found yourself pregnant, you knew that your mother would disapprove, and then your boyfriend just made the decision and made it happen for you. So how did you process that afterwards? What happened to you in the short term right after the abortion took place? You were 19, you said.
Yes. Afterwards, I found myself a few, I don't remember the exact time frame, weeks or days later, sitting on the edge of my bed, rocking, crying, saying, I killed my baby. So that realization did hit my heart. The truth of what I knew from the beginning hit me. But what I did was said, suck it up. You chose it. Move on with your life. And now I just realize that was when I didn't allow myself to grieve for that baby. And from that point, I tried not to think about it. But whenever I would be still or quiet, not working or moving about, it would come to my mind. And I would remember my baby would be this many years old this year. So it was like a remembering.
Rhonda, I want to also give you the chance here to talk about the wisdom that you've gained on this, because in the early going for me, the idea that I had permission to grieve what I had helped to bring about was completely, I could not have taken that in. And it I know it took you a lot of emotional and spiritual work, a lot of prayer and a lot of learning to be able to get to that point and have that insight that, wait a minute, this is a loss that I need to grieve. And I want you to talk about that. And knowing that if someone's listening tonight who has not experienced abortion, that might even be an offensive concept. They might more tend to agree with your initial response, Rhonda, was suck it up. You know, you don't get to grieve. You brought that about. You just have to now, you know, deal with the consequences. There's no sympathy for you anywhere because, you know, you did this. But how did you get to this point of seeing that grief was not only necessary but possible?
When I started searching out how to do this type ministry, I want to back up to when my pastor was counseling me in my premarital counseling session. He asked the question, had I ever had an abortion? And in that moment, I decided to tell the truth. And when I did, that was the initial healing where I was able to forgive myself, because having rededicated my life to Christ, it was that there was an ache still there. It was like, Lord, I know you've forgiven me, but why do I still feel this way? And that was shame and the guilt. But I was able to forgive myself that night. And once I did, the Lord spoke in my spirit that it would be used as ministry. And fast forward to about 9 years later, I went to a conference where I saw ministry to post-abortive women. And it was like my heart was like, yes, this is it. This is what God was talking about. And moving from that conference, searching out how to do the type of ministry, it led me to a crisis pregnancy center where they did post-abortion education and counseling. And so I actually went through their 13-week Bible study, and that was one of the lessons. And for me, Kim, that was the next phase of my healing experience, because I had dealt with the guilt, the shame and the guilt of it. But that layer, the grief, is what I had not dealt with. And in that Bible study, oh my goodness, it was phenomenal to be able to give a name to my son. And his name is Eric, and he's in heaven. But to be able to experience that, because it brought it from the realm of this was just an experience I had, it made him real, which he was from the beginning. And that really blessed me.
Rhonda Barnes is our guest, and our phones are open. And maybe you'd like to share your story with Rhonda. She certainly presents herself as a safe person to me, and I know she will be for you too. 800-811-3003. And Rhonda, I think it's really key that that pastor made himself a safe person by just gently asking you the question.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how he responded. Maybe you want to share if that was meaningful, or was it sounds like it was just the fact that, oh my gosh, he brought this up.
It was very meaningful, because no one had ever asked me that before. And then for my pastor to ask me, I was like, wow. And I think what was significant about it as well was when I went back to my doctor's appointment after the abortion, I was caught in a lie of saying I had never had an abortion. So I told myself, if ever asked again, I would tell the truth. And that was my moment of truth. And when he asked me and I said yes. He began to pray for me. He broke soul ties. And it was just an experience. When I left, it was like a weight had been lifted from me. The guilt, the shame, just all of that, the wanting to, if people knew what I had done, thinking they would reject me or that they would condemn me, all of that was gone because I had now forgiven myself and I was free. And so it was very significant in my life.
Praise God. You know, I think it's so important that you understand as you're listening to Rhonda's story that there was someone who was with her witnessing what God was doing in her and for her and through her. And you may have prayed and you may say, listening to this, well, I don't need to tell this story to people. I need to take this with me to my grave. I've had many people tell me that, Rhonda, and I'm sure you have too.
Yes, I have too.
Oh, my goodness, right? And I understand. I felt that way for a lot of years too. It was the secret that no one would ever know. But I want you to understand how healing it was for that pastor to have affirmed Rhonda, to have prayed for her, to have looked her in the eye and held her gaze when she spoke the truth and not have rejected her or spoken words against her. There is nothing that can replace that. That restoration of fellowship, there is nothing that can replace that. And if you have been avoiding it because you didn't get fellowship at some point in your life when you needed it, or maybe you were even abused or neglected and you've had, you know, very bad experiences trusting people, try one more time with this. You have got to share this with someone. You have got to allow someone to come alongside you and affirm for you Christ's love for you. Rhonda, it sounds like he was just the perfect person that God used for this.
Yes, he was. And that's one thing I have found too, Kim, that once a woman opens her mouth and say for the first time, it's like a weight for them is lifted as well. They go into another realm, if you will, of freedom. It's like they begin that journey. So saying for the first time that this is what happened to me or this is what I chose starts that healing process for many.
Rhonda Barnes is our guest. Her book is called From a Mess to a Message. And we'll talk about how that is part of God's plan for us, that when he restores us, he's got a purpose in mind. He has a beautiful, fruitful ministry often in mind out of the ashes of the past. We can't even conceive how God does that and why. But that is what he is doing in and through Rhonda. And you can get a copy of her book if you'll call us and join us with a question or comment. Our phones are open tonight at 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. Please join us. We'll be back after this short break with your phone calls and more with our guest tonight, Rhonda Barnes, on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion, Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Here's a quick program note for you. Coming up next week, we'll be joined by Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and her message is that life is a civil right. She has a new book called King Rules, which is really laying out the principles that the King family has lived by. 10 truths for you, your family, and our nation to prosper. And Alveda King has been a guest on this program. Maybe you've seen her on Fox News or CNN or Beck. She's all over the media because she has so much to say and she says it all so well. But she's been very candid about her abortion and the impact that it had on her life and taking that beyond. beyond to the impact in the African American community. So we're very pleased to welcome Avita King to the program next week and hope that you can join us then. Just plan to be here every Sunday night at cradlemyheart.org. And we do stream live if you're ever away from your home listening area, and so you can find us online, find us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, that would be great. We would love to connect with you. Tonight we're talking with Rhonda Barnes, and she is the author of From a Mess to a Message, and Rhonda's a mom, and she's a nurse, and she's a minister of God's Word. Her book, From a Mess to a Message, reflects her unique and transparent style of ministry and her passion for women, especially who are hurting and broken because of abortion, but who can be transformed by the Word of God. She established Aftermath Ministries in her home church. She's the founder, primary instructor of that. It's an after-abortion care ministry and Bible study addressing the emotional and spiritual needs of men and women who have experienced pregnancy loss through abortion. And Rhonda, you know, I love the nursing perspective that you bring to this question, because medically we know that things, you know, that women experience after child loss due to miscarriage or the tragedies of infant death or SIDS or stillbirth can be experienced by women after abortion too, just physiologically. Isn't that so?
Yes, that's true.
And so I think that, you know, one of the things that I like about your book is that it's very comprehensive in having, you know, a platform for others to tell their stories. And I think that fact really comes out. And it just leads us back to something where we started talking about this need to grieve abortion mm-hmm. as child loss.
Right.
Okay, let's go to the phones. And Daniela is ready with a question about ministry after abortion. Hi, Daniela. Welcome to Cradle My Heart. And you're on with Rhonda Barnes. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for your program. It's wonderful to hear your transparency and ministry to others. And that's basically my question, because I know there's a lot of women that have had abortion. So if you're stepping out in ministry and calling people, you know, to come forward to, you know, ask forgiveness for things that have happened in their lives, whether it's, you know, sexual abuse or whatever it is, what is the best way to step out and to bring the women forth in the church to feel like it's a safe place to say, yes, I've had an abortion, please pray for me so I can let this go? Because it seems like so many women are hanging on to this secret, afraid of rejection, and the enemy seems to keep them in bondage. And so from your perspective, since you've been through it, what would you suggest to those of us who want to reach out and help people that are struggling in that area?
Sure. Rhonda, why don't you tackle this first, because this is what you've done. You've established a ministry right there in your church, and it's a pretty effective outreach. So a few simple steps that Daniela can make to get started.
One thing I would suggest is to speak with your pastor about it. That's how my ministry has really flourished. As I spoke with my pastor, told him what my passion is for women, and he's actually given me a platform. And so I've actually told my story at church. And then, you know, I have a sign-up list, and just ask people if you're interested in helping with the ministry, and let them know it's not necessarily if you've had an abortion, but if you want to help with the ministry. And when they come, I'll ask the question, have you ever had an abortion? And it goes from there that they'll begin to share their story, and then I invite them to come to my 7-week Bible study that I do. But just to start telling your story, if your pastor gives you that platform to be able to do, is one effective mm-hmm. way that I've found.
I agree. And I tell you, Daniela, the importance of getting your pastor on board if you're wanting to minister at your church, I just can't stress that enough. There is a need for healing among pastors. And in the early going for me, 10 years ago and more, when I would ask pastors for the chance to just come and speak or hold a meeting, address their Bible study groups, etc., I could almost sense person to person if the pastor had an issue unresolved in his own past. It might not be abortion, but maybe it was a miscarriage in his own family or something that kept his heart from having a freedom to express hope to people after abortion. And if that happens and you meet resistance from a pastor, pray for him, pray for his healing, and keep on asking. Because, you know, if you can come up with a way, as Rhonda, I mean, I think that was very bold of this pastor to ask as a screening question when he's counseling, you know, have you had an abortion in your past? I'm sure a lot of pastors would not ask that because they wouldn't know what to say next. But right, Rhonda. But Daniela, I would start there, and I would start, you know, branch out from there to other pastors that you're familiar with and acquainted with and have relationships with already. Thank you so much for that question and your encouragement. And stay on the line, and we'll get you your copy of Rhonda Barnes' book, From a Mess to a Message. Let's go next to Pat. Hi, Pat. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I just wanted to make a comment. I was listening to the program, and I just was thrilled to hear Rhonda Barnes, because I know her personally here, because I've worked with her closely here in Fayetteville, and I just want to encourage your listeners, those who are out there, to pick up this book, because it has, I mean, when I was reading it, I just couldn't read it fast enough because it was just so much information, so many stories, and it just touched my heart. And one time, I even though I've never had an abortion, I've worked with women who've just given birth, you know, talking about childbirth and all. But and then I've come across women who've had an abortion, and I can send them right to Rhonda, you know, in our community, knowing that we have someone here to talk about that, that women can share and just get that healing. It's just so important. So I just want to encourage your listeners out there to pick up this book, A Mess to a Message, because it is so just refreshing to know that someone in the body of Christ is standing up, you know, and just sharing this message. And it's so vital and so important in this day and age.
Well, now, Pat, since you have the book, would you like another copy, and then you're going to give it as a gift to others, or shall we hold on to it for another call?
Oh, I would love another copy. I wouldn't mind because I want to give it to my pastor. Because I want people, you know, they have got to read this book.
Okay.
It just got so much information and freedom. And I found myself even having to repent, even the church plays so many times when a woman, when a young lady gets pregnant, she addresses that, you know, and the church kind of looks down or say, oh my goodness, you being promiscuous, you doing it, and then wait a minute, she didn't get an abortion. When I see a young lady that do carry the child, you know, and stuff, you know, because so many times we want to hide it and mask it, and you know, all those things. And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm guilty of that. You know, when I was reading that, I was like, whoop, we as a church play a big role in this. So, you know, I just want to just encourage the listeners, please, please get the book. It's so good.
Well, Rhonda, you need to sign Pat up for your tribe.
I will do that.
She's on board. That's fabulous. Pat, thank you. And hold on, we'll get the information so you can get the copy of From a Mess to a Message. Let's go next to Debbie. Thank you for holding, Debbie. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. You're on the air with our guest, Rhonda Barnes, and me, Kim Catola. Go ahead, please, Debbie.
I would love to have a copy of Rhonda's book. I had an abortion about 25 years ago and have just never dealt with it. And you know, I do need to grieve, and I was thinking that her book might help me with that.
Mm. Debbie, do you want to share a little bit of your story with us tonight?
I was in my 30s and should have known better. So I was especially ashamed of that, and had a lot of guilt. You know, at my age, I should have known better, but it did happen, and I just felt like at that time in my life, I couldn't raising a child. I was single. I just decided to terminate the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to have, Rhonda, I'd like to have you speak with Debbie about this idea that I should have known better, because I think that's something that a lot of women will say, especially if Christian women. I mean, you were a good church girl when you had that abortion at 19. Let's talk about the steps that need to happen to overcome that part of it. And Debbie, we absolutely will get you a copy of the book. But Rhonda, let's share a little bit with Debbie about, you know, I should have known better.
When we're in a situation that causes stress, we're not thinking clearly. And the enemy would want you to believe you should have known better. But we know that stressful situations causes us to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. We're trying to fix the problem or fix what we think is a problem with any solution that, you know, someone else may say, well, what about this? What about that? And so I want to encourage you, Debbie, not to beat yourself up about having, you know, thinking you should have known better. Because, again, in stressful situations, we make spur-of-the-moment decisions that had we been thinking rationally, we may not have made.
Mm-hmm. And I think I would add to that that, you know, we should know better about overeating. We should know better about drinking too much. We should know better about divorce. I have a divorce in my family. We should know better about everything that we do that falls short of God's best. We really should. And somewhere in our heart of hearts, we do, oftentimes before we go into it. And what I like to help people understand, Debbie, is, and I'm going to send you a copy of my book, too, for all of our listeners tonight. Well, it'll be two books. What I like to help women understand, Debbie, is that God only holds us accountable for the things that we are responsible for in that decision. You know, so there were many people who fell short leading up to that decision for you to have that abortion. Many people. But what happens is it's such an isolating experience. We take on all the guilt and all the blame. And that doesn't reflect reality either. And that is certainly not how God deals with us. What he is looking for is a new mindset that comes into line with the truth of his word, which says that was a life and my part of it, the part that I could control, I am responsible for. And Lord, I repent and I ask for your mercy, Jesus, by the blood that you shed for me that has already paid for it, because you did that knowing that I would sin. And that's it, you know, that's it, Debbie. And I pray that you can come to that point, and I hope that the resources that we're able to get to you tonight will help with that journey.
Amen.
All right, Debbie, hold on, and we'll get the address. We'll get your address off the air so we can send you out the books. It's time for another short break and then more with our guest, Rhonda Barnes. Phones are open. We're here for you for the next 15 minutes. 800-811-3003. It's 800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Tonight we're talking with Rhonda Barnes, who's the author of the book From a Mess to a Message, and it reflects how God told her that as he redeemed her, that he would be using her to help others. And that really reflects his ways with us. And I know that not everyone will be called to speak publicly about having had an abortion, and I want to be very careful to say that. That is not something that I feel is a requirement of you. However, if you have had an abortion in your past and you say you must keep it secret and you could not possibly ever tell anyone, then there's a problem. I see us free to be able to share that where appropriate. And Rhonda, I think that, you know, as we learn what that means, the lies come to an end. You talked briefly about that, you know, about not being able to be honest with, I don't know if it was somebody that was doing a health screening, but someone had asked you, had you had an abortion, and you lied about it. And I'm telling you, everyone ends up lying about it to someone afterwards. Maybe you don't, maybe it's an omission. You don't share that detail of the story with others. But boy, at that annual exam, you know, and they ask how many pregnancies you've had, there just are so many opportunities for us to want to cover that up, as you noted, because of the shame. So talk about breaking free from the lies, coming, bringing this into the light and being able to speak about it. Because as I noted in your book and in your Aftermath Ministries, you deal with a lot of different people. I'm sure not all of them, so to speak, go public with their stories. But,
right.
Yeah. So let's talk about this, about, you know, breaking free from the lie, but also you can still maintain your privacy within that.
Breaking the lie is that freedom. The Bible tells us, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And when we speak truth, that allows us to be free, because when you don't speak that truth, it's, the enemy still has opportunity to use it in your life to hold you back, because when you're not truthful, I believe that there's a grip is still on your life to say you're not worthy, or you don't deserve certain things. And for me, being free is part of what we do in Aftermath. There's an acronym that I use, is FREED, F-R-E-E-D, means forgiveness, forgiven, restore, eternally emancipated with dignity. Because when God says he doesn't treat us as our sin deserves, it's like we're new creations in Christ, as the Bible, you know, tells us. And so when you're free to release any of that, you walk in a different area of freedom, I guess, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say, because the weight is gone. And when we let go of the lies, the Bible tells us that the devil is the author of lies. And so when we're holding that, he's still holding us.
And this is, I love it that you've just given us so much scriptural truth there. You spoke about, you know, the devil being the father of lies. That's Jesus' own words, John 8, I believe. And it's also the place where Jesus said, if you obey me, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
You
talked about how in Corinthians it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. I want to just give you the chance to just share your favorite healing scriptures, Rhonda, because, you know, we are more than conquerors, it says in Romans 8. What are the scriptures that you stand on in this ministry that you just return to time and again, and that you see effectively change people's hearts?
My favorite is Psalms 103, where the Bible tells us that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And in that same passage, it tells us that he doesn't treat us as our sin deserves. And when I teach the class and on the guilt lesson, that's the scripture I use. And one of the participants, she always says that's her favorite one, because of the demonstration that I use. I get a globe and I go from north to south and just kind of let them see, once you're going, if you're north going south, you'll eventually go north again. But as long as you're traveling east or west, you're only traveling in that direction. And so that's why he says as far as the east is from the west, because those two poles never touch, but north and south do. And so it gives a visual to let you know, yes, I, you know, had an abortion, but God doesn't treat me as my sin deserves. And as far as the east is from the west, he's removed it from me, so he's not condemning me. He's not judging me. And if he's not, why should I? And the Bible also tells us that if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. So who am I? Am I bigger than God that I hold this in my heart when he's removed it? If I repent and confess my sin, it's gone, Kim. So
Amen.
Who am I to hang on to it?
Amen. And I think, you know, Rhonda, one of the things that I recognized in hindsight that I had been doing was I knew that I was forgiven, praise God, because it took me a long time to grasp that. I was over 40 years old until I finally got that. But I think I was memorializing the pain, and I was holding on to that grief. And it looked like I was holding on to guilt, but a lot of times we get our emotional wires crossed. We have a caller who, and we're getting close to the end of the program, but I do want to give you a chance just to say hello. Caller, go ahead, please, someone who wants to remain anonymous. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Go ahead, please, with your question or comment, knowing we just have about 2 minutes remaining.
Oh, I don't think I can do it in 2 minutes, but if I don't give my name, am I still going to be totally forgiven?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Well, I have not been married since 1987, but we weren't getting along, and I was drinking and partying. I think I was back in my early 30s, and I was scared that if I would have had the baby, the baby would have looked like this man that had brown hair instead of my husband, who had blackish brown hair, who was part Indian. And I was under a lot of stress. I'm sorry
to interrupt you, but because you have your radio up, it's kind of hard to listen to you. So and I don't have time to go and turn that down, but let me ask you, as we're closing, how we can best pray for you. And we'll close by praying for you. If you can give us, you know, the 10 or 20 second version of your prayer request tonight.
I just want to know if I can be totally forgiven. A bell went off when you said the last verse about confessing, and I couldn't make out the main part of
Okay. Let's pray. And Rhonda, if you would lead in that, and we'll pray that this listener would know that she is forgiven, that everyone listening would understand God's grace and mercy in forgiving us. Rhonda, will you pray, please?
Father, we just thank you tonight that your word is true, and that you said if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I ask right now that the caller tonight would trust that word, that you will forgive, Father God, once she repents and asks for forgiveness. And Lord, I pray for all the callers and the listeners on tonight, those that are struggling with the grief of having lost a child to abortion. We just pray that you will mend their hearts. And Father, your word tells us that you are acquainted with grief. And Father, I pray that as they cry those tears, they will remember that you hold our tears in a bottle, and
yes,
that it is okay to release all of these emotions. We glorify you and we honor you on tonight for being the God that heals, who binds up the brokenhearted.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.